This is PhotoBizX episode number 236, and today's special guest is UK photographer Tony Bruce, who has only been in business for a few years, yet he's ahead of the curve, and he's solved one of the big problems many new photographers face, and that is how to stay busy in the off-season when you are starting out. That interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I had a great week last week. I got to visit Melbourne and then Ballarat to go and see the Ballarat International Photo Biennale. I've been meaning to go and check out the Biennale for the last few years, actually probably 6 or 8 years. Alan Moyle, podcast listener, previous guest on the show and friend of mine, invited me down. He tried to work out a date that would work for a few listeners and members in Melbourne. And once we had a date settled, it happened to be last Friday. So I made the trip. I had a great time, even though Alan couldn't make it in the end. Can you believe he took a job instead of spending the day with us after organizing it? Unbelievable. I put the word out inside the members' Facebook group asking if anyone had a spare bed that I could crash on for Thursday night. Now, normally I would just book a hotel or grab an apartment from Airbnb, but I thought, you know what, why not put myself out there, take a risk and see if I can find somewhere to stay and spend some extra time with a PhotoBizX listener and member. And just doing that was a little bit nerve-wracking, you know, because I was thinking to myself, what if no one says yes? What happens if no one has got a place to stay, which was, you know, a reality, probably even more than that, maybe even a probability. I mean, what are the chances of someone having a spare bed that was happy to put up, I guess, a stranger? And sure, we know each other through the podcast, but ultimately, I mean, if you have a family, kids in the house, I mean, I'm a stranger. So it was a little bit, like I said, nerve-wracking to put myself out there and put that request up. But sure enough, Ian and Joe Sim said yes, they have a place, they have a spare bed in their house, and they'd be happy to have me for the night. Actually, it was Ian that said yes. I'm sure that he had to check with Joe first, and it came back as a yes. And I was even lucky enough to be picked up from the airport by Ian, who finished up with a commercial shoot in the afternoon before I flew in. So that was fantastic. The Biennale was great, and the David LaChapelle exhibition was just amazing. It was incredible to see his work. I mean, the very first print that we saw, I mean, it feels silly calling it a print. I mean, this was wall art. The first piece of wall art that we saw as we walked into the exhibition, I said to Ian, surely this is a composite. Just look at this. And he said the same thing. Yeah, of course. It has to be. And sure enough, we read the little blurb beside the art, and it was one frame, which, yeah, just incredible. And from there, you know, piece after piece of art was incredible. It was so good to see. But you know what? The highlight of the day or the weekend for me wasn't the exhibition, wasn't the day in Ballarat. It was spending the day with Ian and Joe. It was so good talking business, talking photography, having a laugh, sharing stories about our families and just getting to know one another. I feel like I've come away with a couple of brand new friends. And, I would never have had that experience, never would have made who are now considered good friends if I hadn't have put myself out there and taken that chance, taken that risk. Maybe that's what Alan had in mind the whole time when he set me up to come down and then knew all along that he's going to be pulling out. Maybe. Anyway, I had a great weekend. I want to say a massive thanks to Ian and Joe for having me, for sharing their house with a virtual stranger and really showing me a great time down in Melbourne and Ballarat. But I hope I get the chance to repay the favour at some stage. And also a big shout out to Shannon Morris, who joined us for dinner at the Right Vietnamese restaurant in Melbourne. That's a story for another day, but yeah, we started out at the wrong restaurant, but we found the guys. So, mate, it was terrific to meet you. I hope you're loving the brand new Fuji camera, and I look forward to talking to you more in the future and checking out more of your work. You've got an amazing backstory, and it's incredible to see someone with your experience shooting for newspapers and magazines and doing the kind of journalistic work that you were, now starting out in the domestic photography business. And really starting from scratch. It's difficult to comprehend that no matter what kind of experience you have as a photographer, you have to start somewhere if you go into business for yourself. So, yeah, all in all, a fantastic weekend for me. Thanks, Alan, for kicking the thing off and getting it started. And I'm looking forward to having you up on the Central Coast at some stage, and I'll make sure that I'm away when you get here.
And now, a macro look at our last episode.
Last week's episode was with the incredible Edwina Robertson, who was just back 48 hours after her 100-day trip around the outback of Australia, surviving on her photography and without a dollar in her pocket. I had an absolute ball talking to Edwina. I don't know if you're planning or have thought of something like the project that she took on, or even something similar, but if you've ever had the thought of going on an adventure, you know, following your dreams, coming up with a crazy idea and tying photography into that, then I know you're going to love that interview with Edwina if you haven't had a chance to listen to that one. Not only is she an incredibly talented photographer, she does what she says she's going to do, no matter how crazy. And I think there are plenty of takeaways from that interview. And that particular episode, we did stray away from the usual format, so I didn't have a look at the week before's episode, which was with Shamira Young, a fellow podcaster and commercial photographer. She talked all about her portrait party idea or concept or strategy to get bookings fast and get into that commercial market as a headshot photographer. We went deep into that. I spoke on the weekend to Alan down in Melbourne, who is thinking of kicking off something like this himself. I know a couple of other photographers inside the members Facebook group are already trialing this and getting this underway. So that again is a great episode to get back and listen to if you're looking at kicking off a headshot or some kind of commercial photography business, or you want to add that to your existing wedding and portrait photography business. I think there's some great ideas shared by Shamira, and I know you're going to love that one if you are looking to grow that part of your business.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest from the UK has only been in business for a couple of years, and business is growing fast. He photographed 10 weddings last year. He has 20 booked for this year, plus cake smashes and portrait sessions as well. He had success last Christmas with themed photo shoots in November and December, and that helped generate some extra revenue. In addition, he's picking up the occasional event and commercial shoot. I'm talking about Tony Bruce, who is enjoying the shift from hobbyist to pro photographer. And I'm happy to say he's with us now. Tony, welcome, mate.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. So just give us a little bit of a snapshot of, I guess, where you're based and who your target client is for where you're living.
Okay, so I'm about 30 minutes north of London in Stevenage. My target audience is nationwide, really. I advertise a lot through Facebook, so I've travelled as far as Manchester and York. I don't really have a specific catchment area. I've got a wedding on New Year's Eve in Dublin, and also one booked for Ibiza next year. So I'm sort of branching out abroad as well now.
All the weddings and the jobs that you're booking, they're all with, I guess, UK locals? So the one in Ibiza there, a UK couple taking you over there?
Yes, yes. Even the Dublin ones, they live in London, but they decided to get married New Year's Eve. And yeah, the Ibiza couple, again, they live in Brighton. So
fantastic. So am I understanding this right? You're working full-time, but you're sort of building towards going full-time with the photography?
Yeah, that's right. A couple of years ago, I mean, I've always been a hobbyist. Since I was in the Royal Marines, I was taking pictures all the time and, you know, posting my work on Facebook. And some friends said to me, would you photograph our wedding? You know, this was a couple of years ago. And I said, I can, but my camera's quite basic and I had a basic DSLR. I said, you'd have to hire me some stuff. And they went, no problem, just give us a shopping list and we'll do it. So I was like a kid in a sweet shop. And yeah, I went online, picked all my toys and photographed the wedding. A massive learning curve. But I didn't feel any pressure at all because it was for friends. They were happy with the pictures. Another set of friends heard about this. They asked the same favour. So I said yes. And then with these two sets of pictures, I thought, why not make a website? So I've done that and just started pushing my name out through Facebook. And that was it. I got 10 weddings last year. So yeah, it's been a big learning curve, but it's so exciting. So I'm really enjoying it.
So when did the idea come into your head that you started thinking, okay, I can quit the full-time job and chase photography full-time?
Probably as I was doing it, the day before a wedding, I was so nervous doing it. I'm like, no, I really look forward to it. And when I'm there, I'm not nervous. I just absolutely love it. You know, a 12-hour day goes and I'm like, that wasn't work. That was me doing my hobby, and it's always the same. For the last 10 weddings, it's been like that. And then the editing, that's when it starts to take up my time. All my evenings are taken up with editing, weekends, and sort of thought to myself, if I was doing this full time, I could probably edit a whole wedding in maybe 2 days, maybe sooner. And, you know, I could really start pushing my advertising and stuff like that. So that was when I decided, let's try and push it for the full time, you know.
Sure. And have you got like a target number of weddings that you need to hit, or are you looking for a target figure that you have to generate, you know, per year before you leave the full-time job? Like, what's the plan?
I'd like to be hitting about 30K a year to do it full-time. That's the basic I'd need, and just take it from there, really.
Okay. And when you say 30K, you're talking British pounds, aren't you?
British pounds.
Okay. So what are you doing at the moment, roughly?
I work for a logistics company, so that's my 9-to-5. And then I also run a fitness boot camp one evening a week for some locals, which absolutely love it. I'm trying to sort of take a step back from that, but I don't want to let the guys down. They absolutely love it, and they turn out in numbers. So,
what about actual turnover at the moment?
Last year, I think I made about 14K. This year, it's looking about around 30.
Fantastic. So you're on track then to leave the full-time job?
Yeah. I mean, I want more bookings to come in for next year before I start making serious decisions, but at the minute it's getting there, you know. It's a bit daunting at the minute for me.
Do you have to support a family as well, and a mortgage and all those sort of things? Like, are they the sort of things you need to take into account?
Oh, definitely, yeah. My fiance, she's stay-at-home mum, so we've got two young kids, she looks after them, and that's it really. Yeah, we pay rent, so I've got to consider those things. Got a bit of a gas guzzling car as well, so
What does your fiance say? Like, does she encourage you? Does she say, you know, Tony, you really need to be making this much before you quit the other job?
No, not really. She keeps herself to herself about it. I always show her my work. Yeah, she loves it. She's quite a critic of what I do as well. You know, I don't like that picture. I don't like that one. And I have to explain then why it is a good picture. And, you know, it goes backwards and forwards like that. Yeah, she doesn't get involved in the finance side of it. Just leaves me to it.
Nice. I understand that you got the 10 weddings through word of mouth and referrals and things like that, but now you're jumping up, you know, and you're looking at 20 weddings for the following year. What have you done to get those inquiries coming in and generate those bookings?
The way I did it was, like I said, all through Facebook. There's a few next year through recommendations, people I've already photographed. Yeah, so through Facebook, I joined a lot of bridal sites or pages, and people asked, I need a photographer. So I just pushed my name out. I've also dabbled in Facebook ads, so putting money into that, not much, maybe £50 a time, and you can select your audience, what areas you want to hit. You can either do it from a radius from your home, or you can target keyword cities, and you set a budget, which is handy, and then people get in touch that way.
Okay, so with the Facebook pages, were they pages or groups?
Sorry, they were groups, yeah, not pages. Yeah, the groups. So,
okay, so you went and looked for bridal groups and joined them. So is there many males inside those bridal groups, or is it all women?
It's funny because it seems to be mainly brides. They seem to be the organisers of weddings. I know it's not always. Sometimes the grooms have a lot of input, but generally it does seem to be the brides that I deal with, and that seem to be organising everything for these groups. And the males, they seem to be mainly the photographers. Don't get me wrong, there is probably an equal amount of female photographers, but that's where I seem to see the males, you know, advertising themselves and talking.
I've never been into one of these groups to do that sort of thing, but I picture what would happen is that a bride might say that she's, you know, looking for a photographer. Can someone refer someone?
Yeah.
And then there's 20 or 30 photographers in there posting, yeah, book me, book me, book me. Is that how it is?
More than that now. It can get quite heated as well, because someone will say, I'm looking for a recommendation for a photographer. I live in Manchester. They haven't said, I want a photographer from Manchester. So I live in Manchester. So you get, now it's like 100 photographers commenting. And the thing that they don't like is, and I've done it a couple of times when I first started this, is private messaging them. You don't hate that. You don't ever send a private message saying, hi, I'm Tony, I could do your wedding. You just, I'll either literally like their comment when they say I need a photographer, or I'll just put my web address and one picture and that's it. And some people put a huge spiel of their packages, their prices, and I just think it's a bit much. I just, if they show an interest in me, then they do. If they don't, they don't. It's, you know, it's no great shakes. So.
Okay, so when you pick the photo to put up on that post, and after you've liked her request or her question about a photographer for referral, are you looking for a photo that, you know, that's going to fit in with what she's looking for?
No, I just go through phases of which images I like. I have favourites, and I often post them. You just mix it up all the time, you know.
Okay. And then do you get work from that? that's a pretty soft approach, isn't it? Like, you're not pressuring anyone at all.
No, not at all. I mean, the Manchester booking I had, they just saw my advert and then they emailed me and said, we like stuff, how do we book you? And I was just like, wow, okay. They haven't even met me, haven't spoke to me, literally just that email. And that worked. Same for the one I did in York. I've had quite a few like that where they don't actually even meet me. They just see the work, see the recommendations and just go, yeah, let's do it.
Wow. Okay. And when you said that sometimes it gets a little bit heated in there, what do you mean?
About the comment I said with private messaging, or that some people go, oh, I can't believe this. They're sending private messages when all she asked was she wants a recommendation. And, you know, that's what it gets like.
Yeah. And with your Facebook ads, have you booked any weddings from the ads?
Yeah. I've had a few from, I think I've had about three that way. Get a lot of inquiries that don't actually turn into anything. I don't know what reasons. They might not like my prices, or they haven't got the money for a deposit. I don't know. A lot of inquiries where they say, are you free this date? I say yes. How much is your deposit? I tell them. And then I don't hear from them for months. And then further down the line, they get in touch. Oh, do you remember me? We'd like to book you again. And I don't know. But yeah, it is working. I'd definitely recommend pumping some money towards Facebook ads.
Nice. Just talk to me about how you run the ad. Like, do you put a photo up? Do you put a video up? Do you put multiple photos up? What kind of copy do you have in there? Are you offering a discount? Like, talk me through the ad copy.
Okay, so I've been doing it with just an image because I've tried before to set up a slideshow. There is an option there, but when I've done that and I've seen, like, the adverts, say, come up on my fiancé's phone, it's very pixelated and the image quality is not there. So I was a bit disappointed with that. So now I literally just put an image and it points to my Facebook page. So they click on that, go to my page, and then it takes them from there if they want my website or whatever. It keeps it very simple. You can set it up so that it goes whatever the click wants to do, so they can click and go to your website. Yeah, like I say, I like to keep it very simple, just point them straight to my page.
That's a very, very soft sell, a really soft approach. And what's in the copy? Like, are you offering a discount or a special?
No, nothing like that, no. Like I say, I picture it as someone sitting there on Facebook and they're browsing through and I see sponsored links come up. They'll see one of our pictures and maybe just like it. Or if they're a bride-to-be, they might go, oh, I quite like that. And there's no pressure for them. They can just click on it and look further and take it from there.
So you don't even have any words. You literally just have a photo.
Yeah, just my picture. And at the top, it says Tony Bruce Photography. And it takes them straight there.
And that's it?
Yeah, I mean, if you see my website, I talk about how I like to keep things simple. Photography is not complicated. It is behind the scenes. But you look at a picture, it is such a simple thing. It's just a story in one hit, isn't it? So I just think everything should be like that with it. I don't want to baffle them with different prices and packages. I've got three simple packages. My medium one is the one that everyone seems to go for. So it's simple for me and easy to manage. And it's simple for them. Doesn't blow them away with all the different options.
This is like really, really nice to hear because, I mean, so many of these interviews that I've done, you know, we focus on having a great headline, to having a call to action, to taking them to a questionnaire or a landing page. And you're just saying the exact opposite to all that. It's so simple, your approach, and so easy. I mean, I think a lot more people, a lot more photographers would advertise if they were getting the results you were with how simple your approach is. It's beautiful.
Yeah, just keep it simple. That's what I do. It's just me.
Well, you mentioned your website, and I grabbed a little bit of copy from your about page that I wanted to ask you about because I thought this was interesting. So for the listener, I jumped over to Tony's about page, and part of the copy says, I could go on about my style of photography, why I love photographing weddings, how long I've been doing it, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to. My work speaks for itself. You either like it or you don't.
Yeah, I look at some other photographers' websites. I love looking at other people's work and getting ideas, and they just tend to go on a bit, if you know what I mean. I just don't think there's any need. Maybe some brides like that. Me personally, I don't think I would. I mean, we're looking to get married, so when I'm looking for photography, I'm not going to read their life story. I just want to know a little bit, look at the images, do they work, and a little bit about them, and that's it.
So I imagine then with your approach, you're attracting the kind of people that like you and that you're like, you know, someone similar to you.
Yeah, definitely. They're always very laid-back couples. I haven't met a difficult couple yet. The one thing they always say, it seems quite funny, is we don't like our picture to be taken. No, we don't like posing. And I always say to them, on the day of the wedding, when you're looking your best, you're going to really get into it. And they do. They start to sort of show off a little bit and they do pose and they do like their picture being taken. But the thought of it before, I think it scares them a little bit. And then, oh, don't take my picture. And yeah, they come around. They love it.
With your about page copy that I just read out, I mean, that to me reads like the kind of copy for someone that's been in business for 5, 10, 20 years.
Oh, thank you.
You know, someone that's supremely confident in their work, someone that's like, yeah, take it or leave it. Yeah, so I'm curious then, Because you've only been in business for a few years. So did someone help you with this copy, or is that just the way you are? Like, take it or leave it. I don't care.
No, that's just me. It's like, when I write a CV, I hate writing CVs and I don't like to lie. And I know a lot of in CVs, they give you tips of, you know, you should lie a little bit, and I can't do that. So if you were to see one of my CVs, it's so short. Maybe that's why in the past I haven't got jobs, because it's just like, this is me, take it or leave it. No, it's not arrogant. It's just,
yeah,
that's the way I roll, really.
That's nice. It's funny you mentioned lying, because I struggle with it too. I don't like it. And just 5 minutes ago, before we started recording, my son came home and he's supposed to go to soccer training. And Linda, she sends a message to his coach saying he's still at work. I'm like, why do you just say he doesn't want to go?
Yeah, exactly.
I said, you're going to get caught out and it's going to come back and bite you. The truth is always the best way.
Exactly.
You mentioned there that, you know, you have three packages and clients or brides often go for the middle package. Can you talk to me a little bit about those packages and particularly what's in the middle package that makes it so attractive?
Yes. So I've read a book last year about marketing strategies, which it bored the hell out of me a bit, to be honest, but I picked up on a key thing, and it's saying, it said always have three packages, because people, 9 times 10, they won't want to go for the cheap one. And I'm the same. When I look at something and it's the cheap one, I don't want to go for that. I want to go for something more. About, I think it's £500 at the minute. They get 500 images. No, sorry, 250. No albums. And then the middle one, they get 500 images, all downloadable from an online gallery, no album. And then the top one basically just throws in albums. And to be honest, I haven't done any albums yet. I've never had the need to. And I'm doing one wedding this year where they insist on an album. So that'll be a learning curve for me, building that for them. But the middle one is what everyone goes for. And I'm happy with that. It's the one I like to do. So,
sure. So what's the cost of the middle one?
£980. And that's creeped up since last year, because I think it's justified now, I think. I'd like to go higher still as my work improves.
Okay. And then the top package at the moment?
It's about $1,400, I believe.
Okay. So then do you just increase your prices as you get bookings, or do you wait till the end of the year? Like, how do you work that?
I see a lot of photographers around me sort of starting their middle packages about $1,200. And because I'm doing this part-time at the minute, I don't need to go that high just yet, but eventually I will put my prices up. And without sounding arrogant, I look back at my first weddings and I see a lot of things I'd go back and change editing-wise, or when I'm capturing them. I'm just improving all the time. Each wedding I look back on, I think, you know, that one was better than the last, the way I captured it. And that's why I'm so excited for the next one, because I look for what's going to improve there.
For sure. What do you look back and see in regard to your editing that you think, I would do that differently now?
The first one I did for my friend, we were around their house a few months ago and they printed off all the pictures 6x4. And I was looking through them and I was really disappointed. I said to him, where did you print these? I think, I can't really say, like a local supermarket or something. And I said, I don't think their printer was set up properly. This looks a bit naff, really. I don't know the way they've come out.
You're talking about the colour, are you? The colour of the print?
Yeah, the colour and the black and white images didn't look right. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll go home and I'll redo them for you and I'll send them to you again, because they don't look right. And I realised it was just the way that I've improved that much, that back then it was my first ever wedding. I didn't really have you know, much clue about how to edit and stuff. And I've learned through, you know, YouTube and books how to use Lightroom and Photoshop. And yeah, it's just like anyone looking back on something when you first started, it's not going to be as good as how you are now, is it? So it's just the case of where I've come from, where I am now.
Yeah, I think when people are newer to particularly digital photography, I mean, I started with film and then went to digital. And I know that when I first went digital, and I'm probably a good representative of most photographers, we get too heavy-handed with the editing process.
Oh, yeah.
So you saw the same thing.
Definitely. You go mad with all the sliders and too much saturation and too much contrast. And I used to be obsessed with sharpness, and it's something you shouldn't get obsessed with. When you look at a great picture from one of the masters of the past, when you look at it, you go, oh wow, that's great, the composition and everything. You don't then look at it and go, oh, but the sharpness isn't there. And you need to stay away from people. I speak to a guy I work with, he's an amateur photographer, and he obsessive with ISO. He's always trying to get it as low as possible because he wants the sharpness there. And I said, well, don't, you know, he's getting blurry pictures. I said, well, that's because your ISO is too low. You need it higher so you can speed up your shutter, so you freeze it more and it'll be sharper. And he's like, oh, I didn't realize that. I mean, I don't go any higher than sort of 300 ISO. And I'm like, oh.
Wow. I'm shooting in the thousands regularly at weddings, like for ISO, you know, like 3200, 6400, you know, just to keep the shutter speeds up.
Oh, definitely. You can't worry about how grainy the image is or how sharp it is. You just got to, you know, capture it, and that's the way to do it.
Yeah. You mentioned there, you know, you're looking at YouTube videos. You mentioned earlier a marketing book, and sounds like the masters, and when you look back at the masters photography, Where are you getting most of your education? Like, where are you learning from?
I love to look at lens culture online. Have you heard of that website?
I have heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Like, every day they put up a new photographer's project and you can just read a bit of a story and flick through. Instagram, I love going on there and looking. I mean, probably Instagram's one of the main ones I look on at the minute, just because of the simplicity. You just flick through, and if you like someone's work, you can then go onto their actual Instagram page and look further. When I was younger, I used to look at National Geographic magazines a lot, and I remember standing at the back of the art classroom and they had piles and piles of them, and I'd just be up there flicking through, not really reading the stories, but just looking at the images, and the photography just fantastic. And that's when I borrowed an SLR from school, that when it's film. I took it home and was experimenting with that. And that was when I first started photography.
Right. And then, so today you like to learn, I guess, the business side of things. Do you go to the library? Do you download books? Do you watch YouTube videos?
Yeah, I've not done so many books, really. I'm more about the visuals at the minute. So a lot of YouTube, especially for when I started using flash, because, you know, when you're shooting without flash, you've just got basic elements that you learn to master, and then as soon as you chuck a flash in there, you think, wow, everything's just, you know, been blown out now. I've got to learn a whole new element I'm bringing into it, and that's kind of helps YouTube with that flash. It's all about just experimenting yourself.
Yeah. Tony, you mentioned Instagram there, and you're a fan of that and looking through other people's work. You've got nearly 6,000 followers, and you've only been shooting for, you know, a couple of years. How have you managed to build that up so quickly?
I don't know. It just happens, you know, on Instagram, just people.
I love it when photographers say it just happened.
Yeah, is that the cliche thing to say, is it? Yeah, I don't put any money. I know you can click spot, you know, similar to Facebook, you can boost your post with money, and I haven't been tempted to do that yet. I might have a go at it, but all that's going to do, I think, really is boost followers. I've never had any work through Instagram. No one's ever messaged me, even though I have it set up so they just hit the button and contact me. That's never happened, so it's more just for me to showcase a bit of my work and have a look at other people's stuff.
Oh, that's interesting. So not one single inquiry through Instagram, even though you've got 6,000 followers.
No, yeah. I mean, on my website, there's a contact page. I don't know if you've seen it. You look down, it says, how did you hear about me? Facebook, Instagram. And then at the bottom, it says, mind your own business. But that's never clicked, or Instagram's never clicked. It's always through a friend, Facebook or Google, yeah.
Yeah, wow, okay. With your Instagram following, so for someone, if they wanted to try and build a following fast, like it seems you have, it looks like you're using a lot of hashtags, and are you posting regularly?
Yeah, you have to post regularly, and yeah, hashtags, but you don't want to use too many, I suppose. It's a funny one, because I look at some other people, and they've only got like maybe 300 followers, and then one of their images will have, you know, like thousands of likes, and I look at the hashtag, and I think, you know, they've just photographed or tractor or wherever they've taken a picture. You know, I don't know how that works.
So nothing really scientific for you. You're just using hashtags that you think would fit in with that image and posting pretty regularly.
Yeah, and post regularly. Just keep doing it. When I do a wedding, I'm itching to, I flick through quickly and I see some really good ones. I'll have a quick edit of it and then I'll send it to the couple. And I always ask them, do you mind if I send you a teaser? And they're like, no, go ahead. And then I say, can I share it on my social media platforms? And I've never had them say no. They go, yeah, share away. But I don't want them to share too many from the current wedding, because I like them to look through the, you know, when they've come back from a honeymoon or whatever and the photos are ready, they sit there and flick through the gallery together and relive the day, relive the story. So I don't like to spoil it too much. So I'll go back to old weddings and find a picture with fresh eyes and then start reposting them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, got it, for sure. We've talked a fair bit about weddings, and I know that you're supplementing your income with other things, and I know, especially in the UK, you guys have a pretty cold, miserable winter. And I imagine there's not many weddings at that time. What are you doing for income, if anything, at that time of year?
Well, last year, my fiance spotted through Facebook, a local guy was advertising called a festive shoot. And it was in a local community centre, and he had a backdrop, and basically the parents book a slot and they came in and had a picture with the kids in props like Santa hats or antlers and stuff like that. And she showed me the pictures, they weren't very good. And I thought, you know, I could do better than that. And she kept nagging me, you should do it. And I never did. And then last year, sort of last minute, November, I'll say last minute because a lot of Christmas stuff is done, you know, October and even before. And I booked a hall. I bought some umbrellas and some flashes. So I always had one, but I bought some additional ones. Then I started researching how to use the remote triggers through YouTube, set up my backdrops, and then just advertise it really locally through Facebook. Come along, have a festive photo shoot, and the parents got five digital images, I believe, and a greetings card. and it just went through the roof. After the first one was slow to pick up, but then as soon as the parents started sharing these festive pictures of the kids, it just got bombarded with messages. When are you doing the next one? When are you doing the next one? So I booked another hall. A lot of them are taken up at Christmas. Managed to get another local one and went from there. But the difference this time was I dropped out the greetings cards because there's a lot of hassle. I just uploaded all the images to Pixie set I use, upload them to there, give them the passcode for their family, and they just download the images. And if they want to get the greetings cards made up, then they did.
Wow, okay. Let's tackle this a little bit slower because it sounds great. So when I think of those style of photos, I think of a Santa Claus. So did you have to hire a Santa Claus to be in these photos?
No, I went on Amazon or eBay, I can't remember. I downloaded, there's a lot of really tacky backdrops, but I found one that had nice, yeah, they're like painted or whatever. But I found a really nice one. It was a, you'll see it, I think, on my Instagram. I've got, if you scroll right down, there's some pictures there of a couple of the festive shoot. And it was a Christmas tree, but it had a nice bokeh. So it looked like it was actually one in the background, but out of focus. And then I'd wrapped up empty boxes as a present and had bought loads of cheap props from a local pound shop, like Christmas hats, antlers, things, signs that said Merry Christmas, and just put them around. And then parents come in, the kids jump in. Sometimes the parents jumped in as well. Often they don't want to get in there as well. And they get these really cute pictures done. So cheap and simple to set up, but so popular. And people were so satisfied with the images that it was a success, really.
All right, so I'm looking at a photo here. I think this is one of these. There's a little girl wearing like a fur coat and a Santa's hat, and there's an out-of-focus Christmas tree with lights, and she's surrounded by gifts.
Yeah, that's my daughter, Safi, and that was the tester I did in my front room with the backdrop, and I literally put a lamp on its side and fired another flash on the other side. So that one's not the best one, but there is others as I improve. You know, learning to balance out the flashes and get the ISO right and all that. Yeah, they improved.
Okay, this is great. So the backdrop you found on Amazon or eBay, are we talking like £100 or something like that?
No, it's less than that. The backdrop was, I think, less than £20.
Okay, so you get that, you wrap some gifts, that's not going to be expensive, and you get the props. So what's the next step? You do this test shoot with your daughter?
Yeah, done that. And then I'd run around local halls and found one for about, I think it's £50.
For a day or for a couple of hours or for how long?
They all vary. This one was, I think it's from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. on a Sunday or something like that. When people inquired, I had a spreadsheet in front of me of 20-minute slots and they booked in that way.
So just take me back. So you've got the test shoot, you've got the hall. How do you generate the bookings to fill these time slots?
Through Facebook.
So what, a boosted post, an ad?
No, because it's so low. I didn't want people coming. I didn't think it'd attract people from across the country. So literally local people that could go, let's grab the kids and get down there. So, you know, you get local groups. There's one near me called Great Ashby. So in that one, I put a quick picture in there and just listed the details of where to come and what to do.
Okay. So what, did you put a price?
Yeah. I can't even remember the price. I think it was about £15, £20, something like that.
Okay. So you're talking $30, $40 Australian, roughly.
Yeah, so then they paid a deposit because a lot of people were no shows as well. Not a lot, sorry. There was a few that just didn't come. So as long as you got a deposit, you sort of cover a bit of the cost.
Okay, so they reply to the thing in the group. They leave a comment. Are they saying, hey, I'm interested in doing this. Can I have a time slot? What happens? How do they book their time slot?
Yeah. So on the post I put, you get a lot of comments saying, yep, I'm interested. It happens so many different ways. I can message them and say, what slot would you like? Or 9 times out of 10, they private message me. Hello, I'm interested, is, you know, what slots have you got? And I just fire back and say, how about, you know, 20 to 10 or something like that. And they say, yeah, okay.
Okay, how far apart were your time slots?
For the first one, I made a mistake. It was literally, so on the hour, 20 past, 22, and then on the hour again. But that doesn't allow enough time for people to get in and out when they're trying to get the kids together and they're running around with the props going crazy. I started to do it with 5-minute gaps. And then I didn't realise I needed a bit of a break in between. So about half an hour midday to get my senses back.
Okay, so you were doing 3 shoots per hour with no break for the first one. So what would you do now?
Now I'd still, like I said, do a 5-minute, probably 15 minutes now and with a 5-minute break and just go all day. Yeah, I'm going to hit it quite hard this Christmas. I've booked up a hall already. I'm going to book a few more up that will take the booking. And it's like I say, it's quite easy to advertise it because people will probably come back to me from last year and they'll just like or share my pictures on Facebook and I just want local people.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to understand this time. So you can offer 15-minute shoot times with a 5-minute break for you between each session.
Yep.
And then you're going to have a morning tea, a lunch and an afternoon tea break for yourself. Like, will you take out a 15 or nothing, no breaks?
I just do the lunchtime, just something to eat at lunchtime.
So a half hour, take out a couple of slots.
Yeah.
Okay. And then do you do this on your own or do you have an assistant with you helping you?
I did some of it on my own, but it's a bit of a nightmare. My fiancée was there and she was a great help because she helped to direct, you know, what poses should we put them in now? And she quickly thought of a new one, like them, you know, lying on their fronts or got a little sleigh, them in the sleigh. And you tend to go a bit blank because you see people queuing up outside and there's a little bit of pressure, but my mind tends to go a bit blank. So she was there to help. So yeah, I'd advise you have someone there help you, and preferably female because they're better with the kids than I am.
So what's your fiancée's name?
Gemma.
Gemma. So was Gemma doing things like, you know, taking money and getting people in order and making sure the kids were, was she doing other things as well, or was she literally by your side helping you?
I was doing literally all the photography. She was, like you say, taking the money, getting people's coats off, putting them to the side and saying, come, we had a table laid out with all the props, you know, would you like any of these? I'd always advise them to come dressed as Christmassy as they can. So Christmas jumpers or, you know, whatever. And then she'd just make sure they come towards me and then go and sit down in the area ready for the photos.
Okay. So I imagine there's a chance it could be snowing where you are. So I imagine whoever turns up comes straight into the hall and then you have an area cordoned off for the photography and the back of the hall is where the next family would be waiting.
Yeah. Every community centre usually has different rooms. They have a main hall and other rooms to rent. They've all had a main sort of lobby. That's where people have hung around. So if I went somewhere and there wasn't that option, it would put me off. You definitely need somewhere for people to sit outside or just hang around. And they like it how quick the turnaround is. They turn up, there's slots available, pictures are done, the kids don't get bored in 15 minutes, and then they, you know, promise them a McDonald's or whatever, and then they disappear off.
Lovely. All right, let me go back to when they confirm via the Facebook post or inside the group. You give them a time slot. How do you take a deposit?
Bank transfer.
So you give them your bank details and they do a deposit, direct deposit.
Yeah.
And do you tell them then that your spot's not confirmed until you pay the deposit? Like, what information do you give them at that time?
Yeah, I just say, ask for a deposit. I think it was £10. They pay the deposit £10, then your slot is confirmed. And they pay straight away. They go and they want that slot. And then when they turn up, they pay cash. Or sometimes they'll say, can I just pay the full amount now, which is easier. And then it's all done then. They just turn up and have the pictures.
Great. Okay. And then do you tell them or is it written somewhere that, you know, if they pay their £10 deposit, that it's forfeited if they don't turn up?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, the only thing I did, because I thought it was just quite obvious that if they're not there, then they lose the deposit. And people that didn't turn up for whatever reason never asked, you know, can I get that money back? I think a few messaged me and said, I was supposed to come, but this happened, that happened. Can we come another time? And I'll just book them in for the next time I'm doing it.
Okay, so you say yes, you're happy to do that and lose that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's great. Okay, and then on the day, so you have Gemma there, she's collecting money. How is she taking money at that time if they're not paying cash? Like, can they pay by credit card?
No. If they turned up and they didn't have cash or they hadn't paid before, I'd have to politely decline. It's not happened yet, but that's what I do.
Okay, so people turn up with cash.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice to see a bit of cash out there.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't happen much anymore.
No.
That's right. Okay, and then so with your shoot, I imagine, so you've done this once or you've done this a couple of times?
I did it, I think it was about 5 or 6 times last year.
Oh, right, great. Okay, so now I imagine you then have like a set of shots you do now for every single family.
Yeah, and I was even lucky because a friend is on a PTA, it's like a parent-teacher association of the school. They said, can you come to our fete and set up your stall as you did for the shoots that we've seen? And I think I was paying £5. They jumped in and they got 4 or 5 images. That generated quite a lot of cash because people were just queuing up for that. Just a very quick turnaround. So that's something I might try and push again.
But that's super cheap.
It is.
What's this, at a fete?
It was, like a Christmas fair. So people come and the school raises money. They have, you know, raffles and all sorts of stuff going on. And then I'm just in the corner with this all set up. And that worked really well. So I might try and push that as well this year.
Right, okay. And just going back to your regular setup, so you're offering 5 digitals that they get to download them via PixieSet. So do you only upload 5 images or is there a chance to upsell more afterwards? Like if you shot 10 great photos, do they have the chance to buy more?
Yeah, they can. And that was just for the fate one, so that was a bit of a one-off. But the usual one, you know, like I say, when I rent a room out somewhere, I'd upload several and then they've got the option to just buy. They get the free ones, then they can just buy the rest if they want.
Okay, so how do you price those?
I think it was £4.50 an image, a digital image.
Okay, and so they would just download those off PixieSet if they wanted them?
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to be clear on what you're doing here. So you're charging about £15 or £20 for the shoot, and that includes 5 digitals.
That's right.
And you might upload 10 and they can pay extra. They can pay an extra $450 per digital if they want it.
That's right, yeah. And usually they just go for the free ones they've got. They're happy with those.
The ones that were included.
Yeah, the ones included.
So if there's 10 there for that family, they'll just put check boxes against their favourite 5 and they get to download those that they've already paid for.
That's right, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, this is great. So next year you're thinking, well, this year you're going to do this again. How many do you think you're going to do in a season?
It's a difficult question. It depends how many halls I can book up. I might try different, you know, I've got local towns. I might try and book some halls there. So, yes, it's a tough one. It depends how many weekends there are leading up to Christmas, because you do it too early, people are not interested. And you do it too late and you've got the same problem, I think. It's just too close to Christmas. A lot of people like to do it because they can get a Christmas card made of the kids and send it out to all the family saying Happy Christmas. So if you're doing it a week before Christmas, they're not going to bother. They're just going to have a picture they're going to share on social media saying Happy Christmas.
Okay, so when do you think, or when is the sweet spot? When do you start advertising and when will you start shooting?
October, I'll start advertising, and then from the start of November, I think I'm going to do. But I think that's, yeah, that start of November, definitely.
Yep, okay, great. Can you see any other opportunities to do this same thing? You know, I'm thinking Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, things like that.
Yeah, it's funny because we're talking about Halloween was another one, maybe because all the kids are dressed up to go trick-or-treating. That's an option, but I'm just sort of thinking now how you could do it. You could rent a hall out again, but you'd have to probably go a bit crazy with the decorations to be able to attract the parents and the kids to come in there, see a spooky atmosphere, and then have a quick picture of them all dressed up. It could work.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try that this year. I don't know.
This is so good because it's mostly prepaid. They're committed. You don't really care whether the family gets in there or not, or if you get 5 of just the child or the children together. It doesn't really matter to you. It's a 15-minute shoot.
No, I mean, the only nightmare I had was there was dogs. Some people said, can our dogs get in as well? And I'm not doing that again.
So you said yes.
Yeah, they wouldn't sit still. They're just running all over the place, knocking things over. And I was just like, that's no more pets. I'm done with them.
Isn't it funny when you're newer, you say yes to everything until you learn?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no worries. Bring the dog. I'm sure it will just sit there really still, but that's never the case, is it?
Is there anyone else doing this kind of thing in your area that you've seen?
I saw that one guy that sort of inspired me to do it. And I think Gemma pointed out someone was doing it after me, but again, the standard of picture wasn't very good. But that's it. Yeah, I've not seen anyone else. I mean, it might be a bit more this year. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. So would that concern you? Like, if you see someone else advertising for something similar, to me, I'd be cranky. I'd be honest with you. I said, Linda, look at this. I can't believe this guy's copying me.
Yeah, you would be a bit like, oh, they're sort of copying you. But then I suppose each to their own. Like, it wouldn't really bother me. I just hope that my sort of get returning customers and maybe they recommend to their friends. A lot of it's people going to their friends, oh, look at these pictures of the kids. Now, oh, that's so cute. Where did you get that done? And then, you know, bang, I've got another one, rather than them going to someone else.
This is really cool because, like, speaking as an Aussie, and we have a summertime Christmas, there's a lot of photographers doing this and they hire a Santa and they do a Santa on the beach type shoot. That's a pretty popular thing here. What I love about yours, and this might be my age showing here, is I could hire an air-conditioned hall, which would be a lot more attractive than shooting on the beach, and do the same setup and not even hire a Santa. I love it. This is so good.
Yeah, I've never liked the Santas. The kids know it's not the real one and they always look tacky, but with a backdrop, you can convince someone that you are maybe in the North Pole or somewhere like that. You know, they wouldn't have to think that you're in Oz.
Absolutely. I love it. This is a great idea. Mate, is there anything else that you're doing in your business that you think, you know, I wish I'd have done this earlier, or, you know, things that this is generating bookings, whether it's weddings or portraits? I mean, we talked about, I said cake smashes and portrait sessions and commercial work in the intro. Are you still doing all those extra little things as well?
I was doing cake smashes. I did a few of those last year. And the problem with that was if you turn up and the child's not very hungry or they're not used to me, 9 out of 10, they didn't actually smash the cake. And the parents ended up just getting lumps of the cake and smothering it over the child. And I mean, I used to charge for an hour. So I'd turn up, set my stuff up at their house, the backdrop and all that. And then if that child's got the hump over here, so if they've got the hump, then it means they're in a bad mood and they're crying. It's hard to get them out of that and you're just wasting your time. And I'd end up being there 2 hours because I feel bad that they've not got the shots. And I'm steering away from that now. There's some people who are really good at it and they've got the patience for it, but I prefer the wedding photography. That's where my passion is. And topping up the income with the festive shoots as well.
For sure. Right. That makes total sense. Mate, are you ready to jump into these 10 quick questions?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
Cool.
10 quick questions, 10 quick answers. 3, 2, 1, go.
What camera system are you using?
I've got a Canon 5D Mark II and a 5D Mark III.
Nice. Favourite lens and why?
35mm, 1.4. It's the sort of format that all the greats used to use. It's great for street documentary photography, which I love. It's not too wide. If you need to, you can get a nice blurry background. It seems to capture the colours and contrast really well. Yeah, just for that reason, that's my favourite.
I didn't ask you, what lens are you using when you do your festive season shots?
I use an 85mm prime lens.
Okay, so it's just still a fixed lens, and what are you shooting that, like at f5.6 or f8?
Yeah, f8 or upwards with the flash, because otherwise the sync speed goes out. So this year I'm going to try and get some nice blurry backgrounds of the festive ones by using an ND filter so that I can get the wider aperture without worrying about the shutter speed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, your background's out of focus anyway, your backdrop.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one, I'm not going to use that one again. It's a bit worn out with all the kids tramping all over it, but I don't know what I'm going to do this year. The idea was if I can get a big enough haul, I'll set up three backdrops. So maybe have a snowy one on the left, some sort of maybe a cozy looking Christmas hut in the middle, and then on the right, I haven't decided yet, something else, so that you can literally go, right, kids, into this one, take a few pictures into the next one. And they've got a variety then of backdrops.
Look at you go, mate. I'm going to talk to you in about 10 years' time. You're going to have a monopoly on this. You're going to have every shopping centre, every hall all over the UK. Do you have a favourite piece of software that you use in your business?
Lightroom.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time in it?
Yeah, I love Lightroom. And then if I need to remove, my bane of my life is exit signs or fire extinguishers. I love to remove them and quickly jump into Photoshop, get rid of them, and then back to Lightroom again.
Yeah. Do you use any studio management type software or business management software?
For my accounts, I use a thing called QuickFile. I've only just started using that.
So QuickFile? I've heard of QuickBooks. I don't know QuickFile. Are they related?
I don't know. No, it's definitely QuickFile. But yeah, I do all my accounts through that. And it sends out, when a customer pays me the deposit, it sends them an email. They can click a link to go into that account and have a look how much is left, you know, remaining balance. It's quite good. That was recommended by a friend, so it's going good so far.
All right, I'll link to that in the show notes. What do you think is the best thing you've ever done for your business?
In what regards?
Like, was it a particular ad that you ran? Was it a pricing decision? Was it saying no to someone? Was it, you know, buying some new gear? It's really that, I guess.
I always used to feel guilty going to meet a couple when they say, we like your work, can you come and meet us? And I'd feel the need to go, and I thought I should have with me a massive album of all my pictures and maybe even an iPad to flick through my images. And I thought, well, no, all my images are on my website and Instagram, so they've seen my work. I'd go there thinking maybe they'll say, oh, haven't you brought anything? But they never did. They just chat to me. And I heard someone on one of your interviews before. Was it Jean-Claude Pierre or someone like that?
Yeah.
Or Jean-Claude Laurent. I can't remember his name. He was talking about how he just meets the couple in a pub for a beer or a glass of wine or a coffee. And I thought, I do that. That's great. I don't feel as guilty now. And now I go there without the guilt. I just literally say, shall we meet up, go to the house or a bar, and we just chat. And I don't bring any work with me. I don't even bring a notepad, and we just talk. And then that usually seals the deal. They say, well, we'd like to book you. And where do we go from here? How do we pay the deposit? And that's it. So that's probably the best thing I've done for the business, I think, deciding not to take a load of albums with me, if you like.
Well, so it's all very relaxed. I think the interview that you're talking about was Jean-Laurent Gaudy, the French photographer that moved to New York or to the States. Great story. Oh, that's interesting. So it really is just a casual meetup for you when you go to meet a couple.
Yeah, really casual. Just be myself and ask them about the day. I mean, a lot of guys, my friends, don't like wedding. My guys go, oh, I've got to go to a wedding this weekend. And I always used to love it. So I love every aspect of it. Maybe when the groom goes to the toilet, I'll say, so have you got your dress? What is it like? And they're usually happy to talk to me about that. I'm always interested to know what the dress is going to look like. And yeah, we just really casually chat about everything, about their family, about their life, work. And they asked me a few questions about how the day will pan out. And like I say, I was so relaxed about it. I'll turn up and snap away, really.
So when you go to meet them at a bar, do you buy drinks for everyone or for the couple?
I offer to, but they usually buy me because they feel obliged because I've come to see them that they have to buy me a drink. So
very good. Are you happy to have a beer or something with them?
Yeah. I'll just gauge it. If they're having a coffee, I'll have a coffee. If they're going to have a beer or wine, then I'll do the same. If they're going to do the top shelf, then I'll do that with them as well.
I know you've only been going for a little while, but let's say you and Gemma decided to move overseas to Australia or to the US. What would you do to kick things off with your photography to get it rolling quickly?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I don't know. Again, it'd be Facebook, I suppose.
Start there?
Yeah, and then maybe Google, get myself up there locally in Google Ads or something like that. It's a difficult one now. Cross that bridge if ever I come to it, I think.
Have you ever had to deal or handle an unhappy client or a complaint?
No, never. I mean, never unhappy clients ever. I've heard other people at a venue say, oh, she's a bit, you know, like other vendors, like the DJ might say, oh, she's a bit of a bridezilla, isn't she? And I'll be like, I don't think so. You know, she's quite nice to me. You get people, one of my pet hates is when someone, it's usually guys, well, it's always guys, to come up to you and say, you get a lot of jokes like, oh, you know, capture my best, that's not my good side, that, and you just do the, you know, oh, yeah. But some people are serious. They'll say, don't take any pictures of me. And that really gets my back, because I think, well, the couple are paying for me to capture their day and you're part of their day. So I'm going to capture you whether you like it or not. So that always riles me a bit.
You're ex-armed forces too, aren't you? And security.
Yeah, I was in the Royal Marines for 6 years.
You probably wouldn't take too much rubbish from a guest.
No, you learn to be diplomatic. You know, you go to hotspots and, you know, you learn how to deal with situations without escalating, if you like. So I don't take any nonsense, no.
Why do you think clients choose you over your competition?
That's a tough one as well. I'm not sure. I think it's because I'd be myself. My philosophy is keep it simple. I think they like the fact that it's not, maybe they expect to come and see this whole package of what they can have and all decisions. I've got enough of those for my wedding as it is. I'll just say, just let me turn up and capture it all for you. That's what I say. So maybe that's why they choose me over other people.
Yeah. I know you've only been going for a few years. Have you ever had an embarrassing moment or a stuff up that you're happy to share?
I've got a couple if you want to hear them.
Yeah, go for it.
There's a couple I went to, ones that booked me, never met me. I drove up to Manchester, and before that, a bride gave me an itinerary, really organised of who was who, you know, named all the people, what pictures she has to have. And I said to her, do you mind if I use this as a template to send to future brides? She said, no, you know, crack on, I'll send you the blank template. So I sent it to this bride, and it was one of those weeks where I was so busy, I'd done loads of editing. I didn't get a chance to look at the one that she'd sent back to me of the wedding I was heading to. So I got there and I got to the front door. This lady answered the door. I said to her, oh, you must be mum then. And she said, I'm a sister, you cheeky git. I was like, oh no. So I then went in, and the bride was in the kitchen having her makeup applied. And just, you know, hello, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. And then I said, so where's mum then? And she went, oh, she's deceased. I was like, okay.
Oh man. Oh gee, that was a good start to the day.
They saw the funny side of it. And when I looked back at the itinerary she sent me, it did actually say mother deceased, you know, and who the father was. And I felt so terrible, but they saw the funny side of it, luckily.
Yeah.
And the most recent embarrassing story was the last wedding I shot. There was two adjacent rooms where the bride and her party were preparing. So makeup being applied in both rooms. And there was this really old door that had a nice gap in between the hinge. I was taking some shots through this gap of people as they're getting ready to get, you know, like a nice sort of foreground effect. So this woman was about through the gap, about 5 feet away, having the makeup applied, and she just sat on a chair. I was snapping away, and she looked quite uncomfortable, and I was like, you know, that doesn't look right. Maybe she just doesn't like a picture being taken. And as I panned down, I noticed she was breastfeeding. So I jumped back and said, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that was going on, sorry. And I made a big thing of it so that everyone knew I wasn't taking some sneaky sort of pervy pictures.
Shooting through the crack of the door.
Yeah. Imagine what she's thinking. Like, she probably thought, he thinks that I can't see him, that he's taking pictures of me. But yeah, everyone saw the funny side of that, and those pictures were deleted quite quickly. So
imagine if you didn't realise that. I mean, they would have been talking about you behind your back for the whole day.
Oh, God, yeah. That's what I mean. That's why I made a big deal of it, because if they might have been whispering, oh, yeah, he's taking pictures of me while I was breastfeeding, and, you know.
Oh, that's great. Oh, mate, Tony, this has been a real pleasure, mate. I really enjoyed every minute of it. Where is the best place for the listener to check out more of your work and what you do?
TonyBrucePhotography.com, and on Instagram it's Tony.Bruce.Photography. They're the main two platforms I like to use and I update the most. And I'd just like to say thanks to you for having me on there. It's been great and I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, mate, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I'll add links to those, and obviously we'll add some of your photos to the show notes as well, so the listener can go and check out your work and also check out your sites as well. So, mate, again, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And I love listening to the podcast. It's great.
Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Tony Bruce as much as I did. Tony, if you're listening, again, mate, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you did. I appreciate it. I know the listener does. And from all of us, we're wishing you every success with the future of your business. Judging by what you shared today, it sounds like you're well on track to be a massive success. And yeah, I'm looking forward to following your progress, mate. So again, thanks so much. For you, the listener, I've got links to anything and everything that Tony mentioned inside the show notes of today's episode, and you can find them at photobizx.com/236. Now, in those show notes, I've also got examples of Tony's work. You'll see the setup that he uses for his Christmas portraits that we were talking about. You can also see some of the photos that are generating him the kind of income that he was talking about in the interview. Now, at the very bottom of the show notes, you'll find the comments area. So if you do have a follow-up question for Tony, if there's something that you want to clarify, a question that I didn't ask that you wish that I did, hit him up in the comments area. I know that he'll be happy to come back and answer those. And if you are a premium member, Tony is part of the members Facebook group, so you'll have access to him there if you want to follow up with anything that we talked about in the show or anything else about his business. I've got two big shout-outs for today's episode, and the first one goes to documentary wedding photographer Stuart James, based in the UK. Stuart only recently discovered the podcast, and he's slowly working his way through the back catalogue, which is just great. And I love what he's written in his last paragraph inside his iTunes review. He says, PhotoBizX is probably the best investment I've made in my business and also the personal side of my business this year. It's truly fabulous. Stuart, thank you, mate, so much for taking the time to leave that review and the rating that you did. It's a massive help for me and the show. So, yeah, mate, huge thanks. Love that you're enjoying the podcast and the back catalogue. And if I can help with anything, then you hit me up anytime you like. My other big shout-out goes to local Central Coast wedding photographer Sarah Watkins of Lysalia Photography. She's based not too far away from me, about 30 minutes. We recently caught up over a coffee, had a great chat, got to meet, which was just wonderful. And and now Sarah's left a beautiful review inside iTunes. So Sarah, thank you. It was great to meet, great to chat. And I know that we'll definitely be seeing more of each other in the future and hopefully even working together. So again, thanks so much for leaving your review. It does help me and the podcast get found by other photographers around the world looking for a photography business podcast. Thanks, Sarah.
Connect with Andrew on Twitter. You can tweet him at Andrew Helmich.
Just before we close out today's episode, you may have heard of or know of The Modern Tog, or Jamie Swanson, who is behind The Modern Tog. She has been teaching photographers with her online resources for years now. She's helped thousands of photographers build a better photography business. Well, Jamie has told me that she is packing it all up. So she's going to be going out with one final hurrah. And I believe she's having some massive specials on her online program. So if you are struggling to find more clients, and this is the number one thing I get asked by particularly new listeners to the podcast, how do I get more clients? I think it's one of the things that most photographers struggle with. Well, Jamie has put together a free webinar. So even if you aren't interested in buying one of her programs, it'll be on special as she slowly winds things down. I think it'd be well worth your while to check out the free webinar. Now, the webinar is only going to be running this week. It's titled Three Ways to Get More Clients. And Jamie assures me that she's going to be teaching in this webinar. There will be some kind of sales spiel towards the end, as there always is with these webinars, but she absolutely guarantees that she's going to be teaching some great tips throughout the webinar. So if you know there's going to be a sales pitch at the end, but you're still happy to go and learn some great tactics, some ideas, some secrets, as she's calling them, then tune into the webinar. I've got a link to it in the show notes, but you can find it at photobizx.com/modern tog. So it's photobizx.com/modern tog. That'll take you to the webinar page. I think there's going to be some replays, I believe, but you just fill in the details and just follow your nose there. It's super simple. I checked out the page. I've signed up for the webinar myself. The three things that caught my attention were the three secrets that she's going to be covering in the webinar is why getting the word out more is the wrong place to start and what to do instead. She's going to be talking about how to know exactly what marketing will actually work and why the things you've tried in the past didn't get you clients. I'm interested to hear that one. And secret number three, how to stand out in a saturated marketplace and become the go-to photographer that everyone raves about in your area. Yeah, three pretty good reasons to go and check it out. I'm going to be there for one of the sessions. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say and share. So I might see you in one of those webinars. So they're at photobizx.com/modern tog if you want to learn that stuff from Jamie. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the show. I have an interview coming out with a premium member, a listener to the podcast next week. I think you're going to love that one. It's a listener who heard an interview, took what he learned, put his spin on it, and his business has not been the same since, in a good way. He's doing amazing things. So that's next week. Now, I will give you a little warning. I have been asked to go to the snow, to go skiing next weekend, and I could not say no. I've got the weekend free, and I expect that I'm going to be skiing on Monday. So that means the podcast may be out a day late. So if you're up to date, if you're hearing this podcast as it comes out, then there's a good chance next week's episode will be a day late. Don't panic. It still will be there the following day. I didn't want to say no to a day skiing if I had the chance to go with my eldest son, Matthew, and my brother, Simon, and a bunch of mates from the cycling club as well. So, yeah, it was too good to say no to. I hope you don't mind if the interview or the episode comes out a day late. But we'll see. I'll do my best to get out on time for you. All right, I hope you have an awesome week. I plan to, and I will speak to you next week at some stage. Have an awesome week. I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.